This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you, Randy. Here are Thursday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. July corn, 365, up 5. September corn, 371.5, up 4 and 3 quarters. December corn, 382 and a quarter, up 5. July soybeans, 938.5, down 2 and 3 quarters. August soybeans, 929 and 3 quarters, down 2. September soybeans, 920 and a quarter, down 0.5. July wheat, 522, up 9. September wheat, 529.5, up 9.5. December wheat, 542.5, up 9. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
This is Thursday's report of grain prices and trends prepared by the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed late Thursday afternoon, with wheat posting gains on the possibility of too much rain damaging the wheat crop in the southern plains over the holiday weekend. Corn was strengthened by positive export sales. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn mostly 5 cents higher at $3.43 to $3.59. Soybeans are 3 to 5 cents lower at $9.13 to $9.31. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn 5 cents higher at $3.40 to $3.65. Soybeans were mostly 2 cents lower at $9.24 to $9.44. In the southern part of the state, elevators and mills reported shell corn 4 to 5 cents higher at $3.45 to $3.73. Soybeans are down 2 to 3 cents at $9.32 to $9.54. Wheat was 7 to 9 cents stronger at 426 to 492. Illinois soybean processors quoted their producer soybean market steady to 3 cents lower at 964 to 972. Basis levels were unchanged to 3 cents higher at 25 to 33 over the July. High protein soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 309.10 to 329.10. per ton, that's down 40 cents, with the basis levels unchanged at 5 to 25 over the July. Illinois corn processor cash bids were 5 cents higher at 364 to 382. Basis levels were unchanged at 100 to 7 over the July. Illinois river barge loading elevators placed their producer corn market 3 to 8 cents higher at 364 to 367. Basis levels were mixed at 100 to 2 over July. Soybeans closed 2 to 3 cents lower at 951 to 959, with the basis levels unchanged to 1 cent stronger at 12 to 20 over the July. New crop wheat prices were 9 cents stronger at 504 to 510. Basis levels were unchanged at 18 to 12 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn market 7 to 8 cents higher at 383 to 385. These elevators lowered their soybean bids 2 cents, with quotations at 975 to 977. Soft wheat was up 9 cents at 521 to 522. Milo closed mostly 5 cents stronger at 415 to 431. Contract bids to producers for new crop grain in northern and western Illinois. Fall delivery shell corn contracts were quoted in a range of 342 to 357. Fall delivery soybean contracts range from 860 to 891. In central Illinois, fall delivery shell corn contracts were offered at 337 up to 355. Fall delivery soybean contracts range from 883 to 898. In the southern part of the state, fall delivery shell corn contracts were rated at 344 to 357. Fall delivery soybeans were quoted 884 to 904. And June-July delivery wheat contracts in southern Illinois range from 487 to 510. That concludes Thursday's closing grain report.
And now here are Thursday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle, 152.37, up $1.02. August live cattle, 150.90, up $1.17. October live cattle, 152.62, up $1.22. August feeder cattle, 217.72, up $1.02. September feeder cattle, 216.82, up 95 cents. October feeder cattle, 215.90, up $1. June lean hogs, 83.77, up $1.22. July lean hogs, 83.85, up 50 cents. August lean hogs, 84.07, up 32 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday, the 21st afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 46 cents lower in the range of $70.50 to $80, with the weighted average carcass price of $78.20. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate to light offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 22 to 27, 4 to 5 weights 26 to 31, 5 to 6 weights 30 to 33, and 6 weights and up 32 to 35. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $55 to $58. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 6,605 head. And now for the report from the Greenville Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 390 head, and compared to 2 weeks ago, slaughter steers and heifers traded $1 to $2 lower, with slaughter Holstein steers trading steady. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 155 to 165. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 150 to 153.50. Choice slaughter heifers, 155 to 161. On over to the slaughter cows, boners were $100 to 110. Leans were 92 to 104, with the high dressing at 108. Now the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report. Steers on a live basis traded at 158 to 164.50, and on a dress basis 251 to 253. Heifers on a live basis traded at 159 to 161.50, and on a dress basis 250 to 253. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 248 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass, $87.05, and that was 92 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses, $262.22, that was $2.76 lower, with select carcasses at $249.32, that was $1.74 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 113,000. That compared to 114,000 last week and 117,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 425,000. That compared to 420,000 last week and 372,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
A looming deadline is fast approaching for U.S. soy's competitive advantage. By the end of December, construction is scheduled to wrap up on a major expansion of the Panama Canal. The bigger canal will give exporters the opportunity to more efficiently move products, such as U.S. soybeans, to end users in China and other countries. For U.S. soybean farmers, it's crucial for exports to be efficient, especially to a country like China, according to Larry Merrick, soy checkoff farm leader from Iowa.
Nearly one-fourth of our soybeans grown in the United States gets exported to China. They have a rapidly changing economy, and the people there are eating more meat, and they need soy as part of their diet for their livestock, as well as human consumption.
In order to take full advantage of the expanded canal, however, U.S. ports will need to maintain depths of 45 to 50 feet to accommodate the larger ships that will be able to use the canal. These larger ships can hold an additional 500,000 bushels of soybeans per load compared with current ships. Soy checkoff farmer leader from Wisconsin explains the importance of good infrastructure for U.S. farmers.
We have to move our product. We live in an international market. We have a world market for our soybeans. We have to get them from the farm to the elevators, then to all our markets overseas. So if we don't have good infrastructure, we can't get them there.
For more information on the importance of transportation for U.S. soy exports, you can visit unitedsoybean.org. Weed scientists from the University of Illinois have been trying to help farmers manage the inevitable development of herbicide resistance for more than two decades. Todd Gleason reports there is now proof which advice actually works.
Plants are quite capable, by the way, of evolving. Weeds like water hemp have evolved. These weeds are resistant to some of the herbicides used to control them. It was thought by many weed scientists this evolution would take place much more quickly with the overuse of any particular active ingredient. So extension specialists like Aaron Hager from the University of Illinois promoted the rotation of herbicides and modes of action. They didn't have proof this would work, but now they do, with qualifications.
We realized that there really were not a lot of empirical data to describe how effective these actually were on a very large landscape level. And so we undertook a project several years ago, it was started, to try to determine which may be some of the better recommendations that actually do slow this evolution, perhaps better than other recommendations would. And one specific one that we looked at was, okay, which might be more effective? Is it more effective for a farmer to rotate herbicides either within a given year or between years? Or is a more effective strategy yet to actually use tank mix combinations of herbicides every time an application is made?
Using the records of a retail applicator, the scientists poured through more than 500 site years worth of field-level data. The final analysis included 66 variables for each of the fields surveyed for the presence or absence of glyphosate-resistant water hemp.
To make a long story short, what the analysis really showed was that the most important determination of whether or not glyphosate resistance was present in any particular field was the management.
The management of the field as a whole, not just as it related to glyphosate.
Really, the thing that was a bit surprising to us was the fact that simply rotating herbicides either within a year or perhaps even between years really did not have a positive effect on the occurrence of glyphosate resistance. As a matter of fact, by simply rotating one herbicide one year to another the next year, the incidence of resistance was actually higher compared with areas where we had used multiple effective tank mixtures for applications made to that particular population.
Aaron Hager concludes the best way to slow evolution of glyphosate-resistant water hemp is to expose any given population to more than one effective herbicide every time an application is made. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Over the past three seasons, Kinze has been performing field tests on the world's first electric multi-hybrid planter. With this planter, farmers can change hybrids automatically as the planter moves through the field. Martin Levy, Kinze's global sales director, says farmers typically think about the different field management zones and soil types they're planting when selecting a hybrid, then choose the better hybrid for the entire field.
Now, with Kinze's new multi-hybrid planter, you change all of that because it lets farmers switch between two hybrids on the go automatically and instantaneously. The planter changes hybrids within one seed drop, so farmers can optimize their seed selection for the varying conditions within the same field.
After 3 years of trials, Levy says Bex Hybrids has shown an average yield advantage for multi-hybrid corn of 7.9 bushels per acre.
That includes data from 2014, which, because it was an excellent growing season in general, likely reduced the yield advantage from multi-hybrid planting. So after field trials in 2012 and 2013, the yield advantage averaged 9.5 bushels per acre. So overall, it is notable that while some crop practices can have good results one year and negative in another year, multi-hybrid has shown yield increases across variable yield environments.
The success of the planter depends on using field maps to determine hybrid selection and placement. Levy says farmers can make a field map using common desktop software programs.
You can use the desktop software to create a map for your field. On that map, you identify areas called management zones where you want to plant different hybrids or rates, and then input the variable hybrid or rate data. The desktop software creates a file that you can then upload onto the monitor. Once you've done this, the planter will know when it crosses soil zones and will switch to the proper hybrid to optimize the yield. The electronics needed to run the multi-hybrid planter was developed in collaboration with Raven Industries using the Envisio Pro XL platform.
This year is the first year the planter was made commercially available, and Levy says farmers in Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Missouri currently use the planter.
Eventually, we plan to add a 24-row version of the planter. So farmers who are interested in the multi-hybrid planter should get in touch with their Kinze dealer to inquire about purchasing the planter for next year.
For more information and future updates on the multi-hybrid planter, you can visit kinze.com. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh.
Angela, thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Randy.
And today is what?
My last day here.
Oh, man.
Yes, I will be leaving for a job with the Illinois Soybean Association.
And when do you start there?
June 1st, which is also my birthday.
Well, what a great way to celebrate your birthday.
Another birthday. Straight into a new job.
Straight into a new job. That's how it works sometimes.
Yep, that's true.
Will we be hearing from you in the future?
Hopefully. I hope to send in a few broadcasts every now and then from the field, sort of just do random stories every now and then if they're needed.
Okay, well, they will be.
If you say so.
Angela, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and I wish you all the best and every happiness.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's certainly been quite an experience.
No doubt about that. Thank you again. That's WSMI Farm Director Angela Besh.